This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check me, bro.
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol. Now go to sleep, we.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer.
And I'm Barry Rosenfeld. And
oh my goodness.
Oh my god, guys, we are.
You know what's crazy? Barry and I are currently holding hands, not in a weird way, but it is weird because it's the first time Barry and I have ever recorded this podcast in the same room with each other.
We are looking at each other, not through a screen. Like, we are sitting next to each other.
Actually, but you know what? I just told a lie because like an hour ago, we recorded together an interview that you're going to hear tomorrow with one Andrea from Winterhouse.
Yes.
So that's coming tomorrow. We did already record that, but this is the first episode you will be hearing.
Yes.
That we have recorded together, which is very exciting.
The headphones, the mic, the magic is in the air.
Gotta say, this little Betches podcast setup, pretty legit.
It's amazing.
Pretty legit. It's pretty legit. But then, Raquel, what's happening with your nose?
Yeah. So today, in person, in the flesh, we're talking about Vanderpump Rules and Below Deck.
We are, of course. And
we're diving right in.
Tomorrow, in addition to our Andrea interview, we will be discussing Ultimate Girls Trip. They kind of threw a wrench in our schedule by dropping those episodes early. I'm not going to lie. But of course, excited, thankful, very much enjoying the show. And we will be recapping it on Thursdays during this season.
Yes. So. You know what's funny is, so Winterhouse is 17 days. Like, that's how long they were in the house for. Okay,
sure.
It's a season. Ultimate Girls Trip, they're there for 7 days.
And I think they're going to end up being like the same amount of episodes.
Yeah, it's...
Those All-Stars, man, they don't fuck around.
They really bring it.
They really bring it. We will save it for tomorrow because Vanderpump Rules is just so great and exciting that we have to talk about that today. Well, I think you and I were talking a little bit offline, in person.
Guys, let's play a drinking game. How many times you talk about being in person today?
Well, the funny thing about the pandemic is that we always say like, oh, let's take this offline. But like for the last year, all of our communications have exclusively been online for the most part. But I think the thing with Vanderpump Rules is that it just feels like we're repeating the same few things, and none of those things are that exciting.
Yeah. Like, I personally, we didn't need to hear about Raquel's nose job at all. And thus far, we have heard about it in, like, 3 episodes. And here's the thing. I take that back. I don't mind listening to her talk about herself and what she wants to do. And okay, that's fine. But if that's the only thing, it's like, we need, this show is better than that. Like, you need to figure out what's going on.
Well, the thing is, it's not just that we're hearing about Raquel's nose job at all. It's that we have one scene where Raquel is talking to Ariana about James talking about the nose job.
Right.
We have another scene where James is talking to Lala about the nose, and Lala is like trying to talk some sense into James. And then we have a third scene just in this episode where finally James and Raquel talk about it, and that scene went on for a while. Finally, James actually did apologize after Raquel is like, stop talking about my fucking face.
Guys, this is a nose job. It's not like, and I cannot, and I've said this last week too, I cannot even believe we are talking about this for this long, but it's the content they're giving us.
Well, and the fact that James is so unaware of how he comes across on the show, that he is literally saying to Lala, quote, I don't want a fiance with a botched nose. Like, first of all, Raquel, her nose job isn't like exactly the way she wanted it to be, but she doesn't have like a clown nose on her face.
No.
She looks fine. And so for him to be acting as if the current nose or whatever happens after Dr. Dubrow does his thing is going to be like
massive.
So
OC on the brain. For him to be acting like it's going to be like so awful that he can't look at her, it's like, first of all, that's not going to happen.
Also, how fucking shallow.
Second
are
of
you?
All, who cares? She's your fiance. This, and he's saying like, you know, do you think I brought her home the first night I met her because she had a botched nose? No, I like the way she looks. And it's like, yeah, she looks better now than she did then.
So by him saying that, though, he like legitimately was admitting that he liked her for her looks.
Right, which I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that you like, that's part of something.
But that's why you would leave her too.
Right.
Which is not okay.
Like, you know, Ray Huger will be dead by the time Raquel loses her looks.
Bite your tongue. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know. I feel like at this point of the season, are we going to see the surgery? Like, are we going to see everything play out?
I don't know. It depends how quick she can get to selling those feet pics.
Honestly, toes, not a bad gig.
Toes for the nose.
Yeah, I would gladly participate in that.
I liked hearing Charlie talk about all of their WikiFeet profiles and how important it is to her to have a solid score on WikiFeet, because that is something I don't really get into that. You know, like
I haven't heard that in when I tell you years. When she said it, I was like, holy shit, that exists still? Oh my God.
Yeah, I feel like foot picks are more of an industry than ever.
Well,
I mean, because I feel like OnlyFans has made it easier, because you can make an OnlyFans that's like basically just feet pics.
People are literally, when they post pictures on Instagram, they're like, no free feet pics here. And they like cover it with words.
It's like how there are some celebrities, like I think Kristen Bell does this, where they put emojis over their kids' faces in photos.
Yeah.
It's like you can put like a little smiley face, or even just put a foot emoji over your feet.
Wow. I think we're getting somewhere.
Barry's like immediately going to go to the bathroom in the office and take like foot pics to post.
Foot fees, like selfies, like foot fees. Mm. Like kill that. Okay. let's talk about the next like, our bullets. Okay.
Going down the list.
Yeah. Schwartz and Sandy's, because this is something that we can see play out, because it's actually, I'm just going to try to build it up. It is nice to see the different meetings and the fact that Katie did invite herself along and actually did prove herself for being there.
Schwartz and Sandy's, even though I don't necessarily care, it at least feels like something that should be a storyline on this show.
Yes.
Whereas Raquel's nose job, it's like, why we're still talking about this. Schwartz and Sandy's, you know, Tom Tom was a hit storyline. The restaurant is a thing. It's real. And, you know, with Schwartz and Sandy's, it just feels like this is the eighth episode of the season, and it feels like not very much progress has been made.
Wait, are you being serious?
Yeah.
And these are the same things we've been talking about every single, eight times
this
we
have was,
been
talking yeah, about. Yeah, this was episode eight.
I feel like it's like four, the fourth episode.
but yeah, so it's like, okay, we decided on a name.
Nothing. You spelt it wrong.
We found out that Schwartz isn't getting approved for the home equity loan, but nothing in terms of actual progress on the physical space. It doesn't feel like anything has happened, and they still are in this position where their investor Greg, who we were sort of led to believe was like fully on board, still feels like he's only, you know, still being convinced. And somehow all of a sudden Katie is like the only one who actually seems to be helpful in that situation. And I think part of the reason that this storyline is hard is because Sandoval this season just seems like such a dick. And, you know, without Jax there to sort of be the obvious dick in the group, all of a sudden,
the obvious head guy in the group.
All of a sudden, it's like, oh, when Sandoval can't spend his time calling Jax an asshole, all of a sudden Sandoval just looks like the asshole.
Katie being there was such a blow to his ego that it was wild to watch. Can I just tell you, though, their mission statement seemed like we were in an acid trip. That is what I was like, I don't even know what that means. I don't know what anything you just said means. But when Schwartz read his little thing before, I thought that was the mission statement. I was like, wow, that's so good. But then I don't know what that was that he was like reading.
Barry, so I think if we were to write a mission statement for this podcast, it would be like, this podcast is
mention it all.
An ever-changing auditory experience that goes through your ear holes and into your brain, and it's going to bring fantastical visions of wonder and housewives into your senses. And all of a sudden, you know, it's
the
just
lights like, are on, the walls are talking. You're really in a magical place.
He clearly misunderstood the assignment in a literal sense, because yes! Greg is like, okay, so that was word salad. And the actual point of the mission statement is so that like the people working here know kind of what the vibe is. And this feels like one of those things where I think in Sandoval's head, he is like the number one genius, where he is like always going to have the best idea of like what to do, what should happen, how things should work. And so for Greg to be like, first of all, that's not even, you completely misunderstood what this was supposed to be. And also what you just said, like, doesn't make sense, doesn't mean anything. And then for Katie to be like, actually, I think it should be this. And he's like, yes, that, do that. Like, it is a big blow to Sandoval's ego, but like, he needs it.
Yes. And also, I have to correct myself, because I said lead guy in the group, and it is number one guy in the group. And what the hell was I thinking?
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. We have just entered spring, and while I don't love that the weather outside is still a little bit cold, you know the silver lining of that is that I have had a few more chances to wear my Quince cashmere before it gets too warm, and I just love throwing that on, whether it's by itself, a little layering moment with a t-shirt under, with a jacket over, with a bigger coat over. The cashmere is the perfect thing to just add to any outfit to make it look a little more pulled together. And the way that Quince prices their items, it doesn't feel like it has to be this wild thing that you're splurging on. It is so nice to have those pieces in your wardrobe that feel luxurious, but come at a price point that you can stomach. It's 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters starting at just $50. They also have organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and also timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. And the best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of middlemen and passes the savings on to us. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/mention for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/mention to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/mention. Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three-beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. Mandarin Orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
From there, I felt a very vulnerable scene with Schwartz when he went to Villa Rosa, you know, starting off talking to the swans, talking to the dogs. Like, he was in his element.
Well, Schwartz practically lives at Villa Rosa these days. Two scenes there this episode.
Him and Lisa's relationship is just very sweet. It's cute. It's very cute. He was confiding in her and telling her about, like, his financial situation. You know what I found very interesting? Her and Katie later on in the episode. So they both told him. They're like, your family's not your responsibility. And in my head, I was like, no, but, like, It that's how he feels.
Yeah.
And that's his motivation or reason for doing this. Like, why are people telling him otherwise? I think they were basically like, you should concentrate on yourself and making money first before that be your, you know, motive. But regardless, I feel bad. He literally is stressed. They have I don't want to say no money in the bank, but that's what he was alluding to, that he really needs this bar opened.
Yeah. Well, I think I think you're, what you were saying about how it is what he feels like his responsibility is. Yeah, it's great to help your family, but it's not great to help your family
when
you can't afford to, you know?
Yeah.
And so when he's talking about this $900 that he won playing poker and how he needs to give that to his brothers or his parents or whoever, and Katie's like, we have things we need that money for. Right. So it's not, you know, and especially when you're in a marriage like that, it's like you have to be on the same page with this stuff. And if Katie is also like, we need this.
Do you think part of him was like, Lisa?
Lisa?
Can you help me? I know you have like plenty.
Well, I don't know, because like it definitely seems like they don't want her to be involved in the.
Imagine in she's like, sucks for you. I would have, if I was investing, I would have.
Well, darling, I would have given you the money. So like, it definitely seems like they don't want her involved in the business. And I would think that having her involved in the business would be like less of a blow to the ego than getting like a personal loan from her. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that would be pretty like last resort for him.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I feel like anytime we recap this, we're always like, we'll see.
I think the biggest we'll see is also Lala and Sheena and Brock's situation.
Man of mystery. Femme fatale.
Yeah. So we have a femme fatale party, which I got to say, getting dressed up in like a tux and a gown to just chill at your friend's house is not really my idea of a good time.
The friend's house we were at last episode.
Yeah. I and again, this is something where like,
because we love Vanderpump Rules.
I was thinking, okay, you know, it's the pandemic. We can't have a lot of parties and stuff. But they were filming this summer. Like, they could have had, you know, they're going to bars and stuff. It's not like some of the seasons that were filmed last year where they really couldn't do anything. It's like,
it is very confusing. Very, why there's no other people in these scenes or at these parties.
Right. And so, you know, basically the only like notable moment at this femme fatale party is when Sheena pulls Lala aside and they're talking through their stuff. And Sheena, I understood where Sheena was coming from, because she's basically like, we said we were good. Mm-hmm. And then you come at me with this Brock shit again at Lisa's house. So if, are we good? Because if we say we're good, I want to actually be good. And Lala, I think, you know, she says that she was coming from a good place. She only wants to look out for Sheena, which I don't think she's lying about that. Like, I do think she felt like she needed to say something because of this information she learned about Brock. But I also still feel like she didn't go about it in the way that was the most, you know, considerate to Sheena.
Right. And the fact that Sheena had to actually ask, like, dead seriously, like, I need to know if you are being genuine. Like, I feel like, but it seems like they are in a good place. Like, Sheena, the cry that she had when they hugged was a very, like,
yeah,
sincere. She was bottling that in for a while. And I feel like she's happier that they are on the same page right now. But, and I also appreciated the fact that Lala said, can I go? Would you mind if I pulled Brock aside?
Yeah.
That didn't go as planned.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she was basically telling Brock that she wasn't planning on coming for him. Like, that wasn't the plan that she had. But he kind of, like, didn't take that lightly. And they did say to everyone, guys, do you mind if I sit here? Like, can no one say anything? Well, Sandoval doesn't know ever what that means, because he's like, well, if I'm in a group setting, like, I'm going to... He just, like, inserts himself, and he can't stop himself.
Yeah, I mean, the Sandoval and Lala thing, they just don't actually have any real reason to be fighting with each other. Like, every time they have an issue, it feels like it's because Sandoval's inserting himself in other drama that Lala's involved in. Whether it was at the beginning of the season when Lala and Ariana were kind of having a little bit of an issue. But this, at least with that, it's like Ariana is his partner. Like, it makes sense why he would at least feel like he wants to get involved with that. But with this, it's like Sheena and Brock don't need Tom Sandoval to come fight their battles. And it feels like he really is just looking for a reason to pick a fight with Lala. And he's just annoyed by Lala and therefore is using this as a way to be like, Lala, it's not always about you. And it's like, just, it's not about you either.
Yeah. And to be honest, when they were at this drinks event, which there were more people there. I don't know who, I think there was more like just sir servers.
Yeah.
Like,
Jesse, the sir. Yeah. The server was there.
So like it happened again. And so this was like an actual apology tour of an episode, but like he was given an example. He was like 2 + 2 = 4 and then 2 + 2 = 4. And Lala was even like, dude, I can't, like, you're exactly what you said. They're not fighting about anything. If you were to sit them down and be like, what are you guys fighting about?
Well, and I think Lala is the kind of person where she can be really messy and, you know, do things that are, you know, not coming from the best place, but she also doesn't want to fight with people that she doesn't have some kind of issue with.
Yeah.
And so with Sandoval, I think she just wants Sandoval to leave her the fuck alone.
I agree. I think it was funny where she was like, wait, out of the whole world, I'm sorry, I'm going to ask you what I need to do to change. Like, really? I'm not, I don't need your help. I don't need you. But
yeah, it's, I don't know. I did like that Lala and Brock
made up.
Made up a little bit. He invited her to his birthday party.
That was so cute. Would you come to my birthday? That was not an Australian accent.
Julia, I thought it was a good starting point after, you know, earlier in the episode, he said that he felt like she was giving him a backhanded apology, which is kind of true. I mean, she basically is saying like, I'm sorry. Look, I'm sorry you felt attacked, but I felt like I needed to bring this thing up to Sheena. And it's like, just apologize.
Yeah. This is in the beginning of the episode, but I thought it was really weird that he was in bar class, just because I'm like, wait, is he going to be in every single? I don't not like Brock, but I'm like, Sheena seems like she hasn't been in a scene alone yet.
I know. It's like, I don't have a problem with Brock being like in the main cast. Right. Like they cast him on the show. He is a full cast member, but I don't care about Brock in the same way I care about Sheena.
Right.
Like, Sheena's our girl.
Sheena's been in our lives way longer.
Sheena Shea. Sheena Marie.
Sheena Marie. We've Shea. Future Davies.
Parks Valletta. Sheena Marie Shea Parks Valletta.
Okay, sorry. Do you know that Sheena Marie, the way you just said it, you know the song Skinnamarinky Dinky Dink? It reminds me of
Skinnamarinky
Dinky. Sheena Marie. Dinky Dink.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On Arts Educators Save the World, we talk with artists and their mentors to discuss the transformative work that happens in arts education. We began with Lin-Manuel Miranda and his elementary school music teacher, and mine, Barbara Ames.
The direct education we got from Barbara, it was life-changing.
And since then, we've spoken with Cecily Strong, Josh Radner, Annalie Ashford, Robert Lopez, and so many others, each with their mentors. Join us again as we begin season 2 of Arts Educators Save the World, available everywhere.
Let's talk about Below Deck. Yeah, so the
Boat Daddy's back and better than ever. You don't want to be in trouble with Boat Daddy. You don't want to go to the wheelhouse.
Boat Daddy's back and in the mood for discipline. It is kind of satisfying that the first people Captain Lee really gets mad at this season are the guests. He's like, I'm madder than 4 pissed on chickens, and you're not going to fuck with me again, or else your charter will be over.
These grown-ass men being told to go to the wheelhouse and sitting there looking like little sad puppies.
They look like they're going to pee their pants.
And Captain Lee doesn't even move or bat an eye is the greatest thing ever from them being complete assholes the night before to anyone that was in front of them. Mm-hmm. They were like, we're really sorry.
And then when the guy has to go to Heather and I'm really sorry, I called you an asshole. I'm sorry, I told you to get the fuck out of the way.
Sorry. Like in the movie Superbad. And he's like, sorry.
I've only seen Superbad once.
I knew you were going to say that because I know when you watch Superbad, I know that.
I've seen it. I know that. I'm not gonna pull a Con Air and tell you that I've never seen it.
Okay.
I've only seen it once.
So this is my favorite new segment that I made up myself where I write down something Captain Lee said each episode.
Yes,
and this episode he said, makes me want to take a dump in his mother's dinner plate. I can't. That's so funny.
That some people are into that.
Where does he come up with this?
I was saying earlier, I want to know if he goes into the season with like a little note on his phone of like funny shit to say. And, you know, every time he's going to film a scene, he just kind of like makes a mental note of like,
but it's
okay, try to work the dinner plate one into this scene.
And he either does that or he hits us with idiots. One worders.
Morons.
Wait, Dylan, you know what? What's so funny? So obviously you're very talented at impressions and accents.
Okay.
I think I have you on the low voice of Captain Lee. Like my voice is lower than that.
I'll give you that one. I don't need them all. But okay. So back to our crew relations. Raina is struggling a little bit now that Jake has been promoted to lead deckhand and her boo is now her boss. And she is just, you know, I think both sides could be handling the situation a little better. I think there are certain moments in which he's not being, you know, super polite to her, mm-hmm. or he could be like, you know, a little more understanding of a boss, but also I think she's a little bit like pissed off that the guy she made out with is now her boss.
100% she's pissed, but at the same time, just from the way we're watching it, I'm like, really? Like, he's changing around this for what like, I hate when people are like, so he was put into this position and now he's just like making up things to do.
Yeah, changing the schedule in the middle of a charter feels weird to me. Like, why wouldn't you do that for wouldn't you do that for next charter?
Also, has he ever heard, if it's not broke, don't fix it? Like, why is he doing that? It's just bizarre. But
I didn't love, though, that when Raina sort of voiced her frustrations to Eddie, it felt like Eddie immediately took Jake's side. And he was like, well, maybe you should just try and, you know, handle it. And it's like, okay, so it didn't seem like he was at all willing to believe that Jake was actually being too hard on her.
Correct. And what's the word she used? I think I can't remember the word she used, but she was like, it's aggressive. Something's aggressive. He goes, well, it is aggressive. I was like, no, like give her some like,
right. Like
be sensitive a little bit. She's
right. Even if maybe she could be handling it differently. There's also a chance like two things can be
intense.
True.
She said intense. And he's like, well, it is intense.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have those bumper covers flying into the water. Oh, my God.
And then next week, I think we see another. Yeah, like, guys, unacceptable. This is a super yacht.
This is a, yeah.
But then we also find out Jake is engaged. I think he had a bit of a slip of the tongue when he said that.
And yeah, so we have our fun night out, which it did seem like a really fun. This crew so far, they have a good time. Nobody's really been getting too out of hand. We see Eddie, like, picking up and dunking Heather into the hot tub. And then he has to go call his girlfriend and kind of be like, nothing happened, but I did pick her up, but nothing happened. But good thing you're not mad.
But if you want to break up with me, you can.
good thing you're not mad. Oh, wait, you are mad. Okay, you're the one being mad. It's like.
He's like, know. If you want to end it, just end it. Say it.
Yeah, he seems like one foot out the door on this relationship. But also, I mean, it's not like he cheated on his girlfriend.
No.
He was being maybe a little bit more handsy than would
He's
be
like,
appropriate.
I didn't smack her ass. I just dunked her. And I'm like, dude, you didn't have to like say that, but I guess it's on cameras, whatever. He's being the nice guy. But I found out Heather's not with her boyfriend anymore.
Oh.
Yep. Found that out.
It's fun that she's like from Hawaii.
Doesn't always work when you date a charter guest.
Well, that's true. But so, yes, Raina and Jake are, you know, getting a little frisky in the hot tub again. And this time they're kind of bringing Fraser along mm-hmm. for the ride. It was okay. Like, I feel like this was like, if this is the only like little moment between them, I feel like it was like sold to me a little bit wrong. Cause I don't think Jake was actually ever like into it. I think they basically were just there. They were like drunk and their heads were being like pushed together.
No, I remember that when they showed that and we were like, ooh, is there going to, I remember talking about that, but I don't, do you think that's going to be the only scene?
I mean, we'll see. But like when it was hilarious that Jake didn't realize that Fraser was gay and he was like, what do you mean you don't have any choices?
Wait, Fraser was like, I didn't think it needed to be like spelled out for him, but okay.
But, like, you know, when that conversation was happening, there wasn't any inkling that Jake might be, like, also interested in that. So, I don't know. But, yeah, so then he, like, casually mentions that he's engaged. And Raina immediately is like, I'm out. Uh-uh. Can't do that. And, like, I would feel that way, too.
I mean, being engaged is different than just having a boyfriend or just having someone you're talking to. Like, you're engaged.
Right. And
that's not good.
Right. And like, I mean, it's not like they've had some like super hot and heavy serious relationship, but like this is the second time they've had a night out and it's the second time they were making out in the hot tub. So like if I were Raina, I would feel some type of way about that.
Also, Jake, there's cameras, like your fiance.
Well, we don't. OK, to be fair, this is where the episode ends. So like it could be an open situation. Like saying I'm engaged doesn't necessarily mean like that you're cheating on your fiance. Like there could be any type of situation that they like agreed on before he left, but you should still be upfront about that. And considering that all of these people are in like various relationship situations, it's weird that they've been together for like a week at this point and he hasn't mentioned once if he's engaged.
Yeah. Very weird.
Like everybody else is talking about their boyfriends and stuff, but I don't know.
Whatever, Jake.
Whatever floats your boat.
And on that note.
I think that's where that's us done for the day. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. It's so fun that we're here together. Yay. In the studio. We'll have to do it again sometime. In the meantime, don't forget to rate, review, and follow the show wherever you listen. Follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches, and just be cool.
Don't be all like uncool.
Mention It All is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter.
Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a wild berry splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.